Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing, that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. It will be my thing in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love.
Beautiful. You may be seated. And that story never gets old. The story of Jesus. And what a love. Good to see this crowd tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Who has a special spoken or unspoken prayer request on their heart tonight? Anybody in the house? Yes, Brother John. All right, brother. Yes, Miss Brenda. Okay. Family, Sandy. Remember that church? David Seals, remember David back there? He will be having surgery on the 14th. Remember Jack Brooks? I believe I understood he was going to have to go to Duke, possibly. So remember Jack? So we've got some folks in our church right now that need us on our knees praying for them. Yes, Henry? Amen. That's good. He's still in the healing business, isn't he? Every day. Most important healing, though, is our hearts. You know, it's he can heal us with our bodily things that happen to us, but making sure our hearts are right with God, that's the most important thing. Let's have, Henry, you'll have to help us, or John, you help us with ushering tonight. You do that for us? Thank you. I was looking for Chris, but Mr. Chris not here tonight. John, you bless our offering. We're going to sing one more, then Brother Henry is going to share a song with us tonight. 137, you can remain seated. 137 in your book. Yeah. 'Tis so sweet to trust in that Jesus, isn't it? We can sing about that all day long. Let's sing that tonight.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. Just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me beneath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've prayed Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. And I'm so glad I've learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior and friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Amen. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him.
Once a preacher boy was told he couldn't preach it straight and strong. Ten commandments and perhaps the golden rule. No one wanted him to tell them what was right and what was wrong. So he asked an old-time preacher what to do. Just preach Jesus born and crucified and risen from the dead. Just preach Jesus as He paid for sin with the precious blood He shed. Lord and Savior, King of kings, Son of God and Son of man. Just preach Jesus until Jesus comes again. Verse 35. We're a lost band tribe but couldn't see the light. Philip found Him there, Isaiah 53 just came alive. He preached Jesus and He won that man to Christ. Just preach Jesus born and crucified and risen from the dead. Just preach Jesus as He paid for sin with the precious blood He shed. Lord and Savior, King of kings, Son of God and Son of man. Just preach Jesus until Jesus comes again. Lord and Savior, King of kings, Son of God and Son of man. Just preach Jesus until Jesus comes again. Just preach Jesus born and crucified and risen from the dead. Just preach Jesus as He paid for sin with the precious blood He shed. Lord and Savior, King of kings, Son of God and Son of man. Just preach Jesus until Jesus comes again. Just preach Jesus until Jesus comes again.
Just preach Jesus till He comes again. Can't beat that now. That's good stuff. We better keep an eye on old Henry. He'll have a bus first thing you know and going down the road. Yeah. Henry, I didn't know you had that much energy. That's a good song, brother. Just preach Jesus. And nobody else to preach, is there? That's right. Just to remind y'all that this month has five Sundays, and the fifth Sunday night, we're going to have our all-song service, right? That's right. That's right. So y'all get ready. all you who want to sing. That's when anybody and everybody. We'll let Lynn get one ready. Lynn, you have one ready? Okay. That sounds good. Yeah. Okay, it's been a good day. God blessed us with another beautiful day. Did any of y'all get out and ride around and look at some leaves or anything today? I heard that. She said there was too many ball games on. Well, those old men that sit around and watch all those old ball games and don't go out and look at the leaves, they'll wish they had one day, right? Just tell it like it is, Pam. I always know what direction Pam's going in. Yeah. But I got a feeling that, by the way, we never said a thing about it this morning, but I'll go ahead and say it now. If you live in Tennessee and wear orange, you ought to be a happy dude today, right? That's right. Now we can get on with the business. You know, we got to get that out of the way. That's kind of an elephant in the room. Some people come in and they don't know whether to say anything about it or not. And then you got some who want to say something about it and some who want to say more than others. And before long, we'll have Scott wearing orange. He didn't shake his head one way or the other. He has stuff to say. He just won't say it right now. He says it's been 15 years. That's what he says. Okay. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5. And look at around verse 10, if you will. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. Y'all remember singing a song when you were little, If You're Saved and You Know It? Say amen. Okay, let's see how well you learned that song. If you're saved and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're saved and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're saved and you know it, then your life will surely show it. Y'all forgot that part. Your life will surely show it. If you're saved and you know it, say
amen.
Amen. It's good to know, isn't it? I mean, we used to stomp our feet and everything. I remember the kids used to get mixed up, and they'd stomp when they're supposed to say amen and say amen when they're supposed to stomp and whatever, the clap, yeah. I mean, you just, all kinds of stuff was going on there. But that's okay if it got them to thinking about being saved and being sure of their salvation, because it's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to know you're saved. Right? You got to know you're saved. Let's read this scripture together. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. That's good stuff, isn't it? He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his son. That's about 2 weeks preaching right there. He that hath the Son hath, yeah. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not. If it's true one way, it's true another. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You got to know. We have a phrase we use in East Tennessee, beyond the shadow of a doubt. We got to know it beyond the shadow of a doubt. No doubts, right? So he says, these things have I written unto you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence. I'm going to go ahead and read this one too. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Isn't it good to have confidence? That may sound foolish to say, do you have confidence in God? Because all of us are going to say, of course I do. He's God. But if we really do, it will change how we think and what we say and what we do. It will. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, don't miss some of these words, anything, according to his will, there's the key to it, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Let's bow our heads. I want to ask the Lord to bless you and all of us who are here tonight, that we'll leave here with a confidence that maybe we haven't had before, because we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we are saved. Saved, saved, saved. Lord, we do thank you for this word. We thank you for the power of the Scriptures to give us life and to keep us where we need to be. And Lord, to remind us that even when we aren't what you want us to be, we come boldly to the throne of grace. Talk to our mediator, and he talks to you for us. I thank you for our mediator, Lord. I thank you that he knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. And so, Lord, we just pray that tonight, before we leave here, we have a confidence that we haven't had before. And we're going to praise you for whatever you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to talk to you for a little while about this. I think it's good to know, because I've always been a preacher who wants to preach the knowledge that we are sure that we have been saved from an eternal hell to a God-given, beautiful heaven that we all want to go to, but we know that if we're going, we've got to get ready the right way. And that we can say, yes, I am saved, and I know it. I am saved, and I know it. Why do some people lack the assurance of their salvation? Have you ever asked that question? Because I see them all the time. I see some that hope so, some who wish and hope they are, you know, and I try to tell them, well, you can know. You don't have to hope you know. You can know. And then I take them into the Word of God. If they read the Word of God and believe the Word of God, what else is there? Because if you doubt that, you have a real problem with your salvation. You have a real problem with your relationship with God. If you can read His Word and say that you believe it, and then you're still saying, I hope so, because there is no hope unto it. If He said it and you believe it, that'll clarify that. It'll nip it in the bud. There must be, if you have a lack of assurance in your salvation, and John wanted to make sure we knew that we were saved. There's got to be a lack of consciousness of a definite Christian experience. And I am not one to say that you need to know the exact day, week, hour, month, whatever it was. I'm not one to say that. I know there are some who have them. We've even talked about that before here. But that used to be a big thing back in the day. In fact, quartets would come to churches to sing, and they would do that one because that was a good one to get the congregation involved in the songs they were singing. So they sang this song, it was a Tuesday, it was a Wednesday, it was a Monday, or you know, and if it was a Monday that you were saved, you stood up. If it was a Tuesday you were saved, you stood up. And if you didn't know, you just stood on the first one and stayed till the last one. Because I can't tell you what day of the week it was. Because to me, and that's fine if you do, but to me, that's not the important thing. The important thing is, did you have an experience that tells you, you know, whether it was one day of that week that you're thinking about? It doesn't matter what day of that week. If you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you had an experience that night, and you ask him to forgive you and save you, and he did, and you know that, and it has stuck with you, it's there today the same as it was then, or should be even stronger now than it was then. If that's what you know, that's where you need to be. So if you lack the assurance of your salvation, it could be because you have a lack of consciousness of that time that you were saved. Not that day or that week or that hour, but that there was something happened to you. Something that huge, you should know it happened. I can tell you wrecks I've had because they really happened. And they get your attention, right? They happen all of a sudden, and it sticks with you. And I can tell you what roads I was on, how it happened and everything. I can just about tell you every speeding ticket I got. Well, not really. That'd be too much memory. But there are things that happen to you in life that you know it happened, right? And I would hate to go through this life not having the consciousness that I know that there was a time when I gave my heart and life to the Lord, and he changed me, made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. And as a young boy, I knew that I went on and did things I shouldn't have done. I talked back to my third grade teacher one time, and it was right along in there that I got saved. And I remember I couldn't wait to get back to school because I wanted to tell some of my classmates. I remember that. But that same year, that same third grade teacher, I talked back to her. And she told my daddy, and my daddy wore me out. I told some of you who know, marbles was a big thing back then, and I was a good marble shooter. And still am. If my old thumbs will flip like they used to, I could still shoot them. But I won all of my brother Steve's marbles. We were out on the playground, and I won. You know, it was Las Vegas. Why not? I won all of his marbles, and he went and told the teacher that I had his marbles, and she told me to give him back his marbles. And I said, well, I won them. They're mine. You know, if you knocked them out of the ring, they were yours. Now, that wasn't gambling, folks. Okay, don't blame a little old 9-10-year-old boy for gambling if he got all the marbles out of the ring. You know, he was just better than the other guy. But anyway, he told her I got his marbles, and she said, you give those back to him. And I said, I'm not giving them back. They're mine. I want them. She said, yes, you are giving them back right now. I saw she was serious, and I gave him back his marbles. But I wasn't through. I said, I'll get them back from him when I get him home. And for that, they had a paddle about that long. You know, about that wide. And for the ones who were serious about paddling, they had holes bored in it. Do y'all remember that? Yeah, and when you checked yourself to see if that really showed up on there, it did. I can assure you. I remember those things, and I remember the things that happened to me. I remember on that same playground swinging, and back then the swings were big, huge, really good swings, and long chains, and the thing you sit down on wasn't to protect you, like, you know, some kind of plastic or soft stuff. It was a piece of wood about that thick, about that long, and boy, you could, if you were pushing somebody on that swing, you could grab that thing and you could shove it, and then you could jump up and grab it and shove it again. You could have them going over the pole before long. And I was doing that once, and I jumped up to grab that thing, and it hit me right here above the eye, and it split that eye wide open. Now, this is good preaching. It split that eye wide open, and the skin came down over my eye, and I couldn't see. And blood was everywhere, and they took me and had it all sewed up and everything. Do you think I remember that? If I hadn't remembered it, I couldn't have told you, could I? And I would say to you, if you don't remember you had an experience with the Lord, you can't go out and tell somebody else that you had an experience with the Lord, and you can't tell them they will too, because you don't know if it really is happening. Come on, let's get real about this. He's saying to us, we need to know, we need to have the assurance that we've been saved. And if we don't have the experience nailed down in our minds and our hearts that we had an experience with Him on that day, we'll never go out and tell another one. We won't. But what it will cause us to do, if we don't do that, it will cause us to continue to doubt. Nothing more dangerous to a Christian's life than the old thing, doubt. If He can get you there, He can get every little thing that happens to you in your life that will make you wonder if you really were saved. That's not good. That's not a good place to live. You don't want to live with people you doubt. Amen? You don't want to work for somebody that you doubt. Especially if you doubt they'll pay you come payday, right? You don't want to doubt this stuff. Well, we don't want to doubt our Christianity. Doubt robs us of some things that are real important to us. I don't see how in the world a Christian can have the peace of knowing if they're doubting at the same time. That's where your peace comes from. Your peace comes from knowing that you're saved. And you can sing that song, if you're saved and you know it, say amen. And when you say amen, there's something about that, isn't there? Don't you feel like when you say amen that you're actually saying, yes, I have it in my heart. I have peace in my heart. I've got joy in my heart. I've got joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Down in my heart, down in my heart. Oh, yeah, I got all that joy, joy. Well, we sing those little things, but folks, they need to become a reality to us. And if we're not sure about our salvation, we can say the words peace and joy, but if we don't have that, we don't have it down in our hearts, and it makes a difference. Well, you know, we've started our evangelistic training around here about going out and seeing somebody. Well, if we're not sure of our own salvation, we might as well forget that until we make sure we know where we are. And we need to get into His Word so that we can know even more. So, Christians ought to be happy. You agree with that? Christians ought to have a joy down in their hearts. Christians ought to have peace in their hearts. In fact, the only people who have the right to be happy would be you if you're a saved child of God. A lost person don't have any right or shouldn't be happy. I'm sorry, but they shouldn't be. There should be no happiness. They might have a temporary happiness, but if they're not saved, they don't have a right to be happy. I can't have that joy, and if I don't have that joy, I can't rejoice, right? If I'm going to rejoice, I've got to have the joy down in my heart so I can rejoice. We come to the house of God, and we don't always have rejoicing services. I know that. And life is not an everyday rejoicing outwardly thing. You may be rejoicing inwardly. There may be some things that's happened in your life that you know God handled it, and you're rejoicing down inside you, and maybe one day you'll let people know what you're rejoicing about, what's making you happy, what's giving you peace, what's giving you everything. You may do that, but at that moment you might not be. I don't know. But doubt will rob you of these things that are important to you, and the same things that you could tell another in your testimony, you won't be able to tell them if you don't know what God's talking about here. Actually, it dishonors God. It does. If you want to take it a little bit deeper in the well, you could say it dishonors God, because it actually does. So if you're living in doubt, let's get rid of it. Go back to the Word of God and say, God, now give me that assurance so that I can know exactly where I am. I want to go out tomorrow with a joy in my heart. I want to tell others. I want to go out tomorrow rejoicing in you, because I want the world to know that what I have is really, really real. It's not something that I conjured up. It's not something I found out in Reader's Digest. Speaking of Reader's Digest, I can't get them to quit sending them to me. I don't pay them anymore. I got a subscription one time, and I don't know how long it's been, and I keep getting them, and they keep sending, "This might be your last chance." And I try to tell them it's okay. I'm fine with the last chance. In fact, if you would quit sending them, my mailman would stopping and making me think there's something in the mailbox worth getting out. Because at one time, the Reader's Digest was about that thick, and now you can hardly see it. It's so thick. It's kind of like the Press Chronicle. So it dishonors the Lord, folks, if we're not where we ought to be. Now, you might think that I'm the way I am because I'm like my mama. That's what Tom would say. I'm not the way I am because I'm like my mama. I am happy because I'm happy. That's the way I live my life, and that's the way I'm going to live my life, because I know where I've been, I know where I'm going, know where I am now. Isn't that good to know? Know where you came from, know where you are, know where you're going. If you've got those ends tied together, that's a complete story. And I know the end of this story, and it's good for me. So let's don't dishonor God anymore by doubting our salvation, folks. And it can come to anybody. The best Christian in the world, if you're not where you need to be in the Word of God, Satan can jump in there for a minute and say, "Well, I know you said this, you did this, and it'll cause you to dishonor God, to doubt where you are. Just believe His Word. Go back to it. There are grounds by which we live by, right? And the grounds of Christian assurance, it has to be biblical grounds now. It can't be the grounds that you have. But that obedience, that joyfulness about us that we have, usually comes. Have you ever noticed how much happier you are when you obey God? Makes a world of difference, because you can even go to church then. Huh? Yeah. Some people stay at home because they don't want to go to church, because they haven't gotten their sins repented of and forgiven, and so they don't want to go, thinking God won't bother them if they stay at home. I got news for them. Holy Spirit will bug them till they get back there and get things right. It's all God wants from us, folks. He just wants us to keep things right. He's not going to beat you to death because you did something wrong. He says, "Come to me. I'm the one you come to, and I'm the one you say, 'I'm sorry, Lord. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to do what I shouldn't do. So forgive me, Lord. Forgive me and get me on the right track.'" And He does it immediately, by the way. You ever noticed that? So your conversion was right. When you got converted, y'all know that word, converted, right? That means when you push a button and the top goes back, and it changes what it really is. The word is convertible, Pam. Yeah. It changes it from a car with a top to a car that has no top. And it's been converted to a fun car. With the top up, it's not a fun car. Okay? It's not, but it can be converted. Well, when you got converted, you were changed. Don't forget that. And that's a good word to use, by the way. And then later on, you consecrated your life to the Lord, and the more you do these things, the happier you get, the more you get into the work. When you consecrate your life to Him, you'll get involved in the things in your church. You'll ask Pam if you can help with trunk or treat. Yeah, there's lots of different things you can do to happen. And by the way, you will have something that I see less and less of anymore, and that's stickability. I know that's not a word that's probably in the dictionary, but you all know what I mean. I'm talking about people who will work it out and stick it out and make sure that it's all set and right, and it's right before God and everybody else. I have a phrase that some people do, so I said, you did that right before God and everybody. Stickability. I'm talking about sticking with it. COVID wasn't the reason that a lot of folks dropped out of church and never went back. It was their inability to have stickability in their life and work it out and stay close to the Lord. That may hurt somebody's feelings. I'm sorry, but it may. If you don't have it, I can't help it. I didn't take it away and I didn't give it to you. I have a desire to communicate the Lord to other people. Do you have that desire? This is one of the ways you'll know if you're saved. Now, Doris would tell you that you'll know that you're saved because you love the brethren. She tells me that every time, that she'll know she's saved if she loves the brethren. And I say, amen, Doris, you do. Her dad was a preacher, and I think he used to preach it all the time. We all love the brethren, don't we? But more than that, I love to communicate the goodness of God to other people. Now that you've said, I'm saved and I know it, amen? We've said that. Now, what are some of those blessings? We talked a little bit there about the blessings. What are some of those blessings that will come your way? Well, that word stickability comes from a word meaning stabilized. I just came up with that. But it sounds good, doesn't it? Y'all know what stabilized means. How many of y'all drive? Well, you have shocks on your car, and you have stabilizer bars. If you drive one, you do. Well, you know, it's very important that that car be stabilized before you get in, turn the key, and go down the road. It is so important that you as a Christian be stabilized before you get in your car and go down the road. Before you speak to the next person you speak to, it is important that they see a stabilized, and I'm not talking about your mental condition. I'm talking about being stabilized in where you are in your relationship with Him. And not just your relationship with Him, but your fellowship with Him. Two different things. Your relationship has to do with when you were saved. Your fellowship is what you're doing since then that would keep you from being in fellowship with Him or being out of fellowship with Him. Stabilized. It's a good word. Don't forget it, okay? If we had a good Christian experience, we ought to be stabilized in where we are. Stable people keep churches going. If you use the word apart from stabilized, it would be immature. It would be. If you're a mature Christian, you should have gone on from milk to meat, right? You grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you move along until you want the meat of the word instead of the milk. It's nothing wrong with the milk. All of my kids and your kids and every kid has grown up taking milk first. If they hadn't had the milk, they wouldn't have been able to eat the meat later. So we know that it's important to do that. But if our lives are stabilized in this Christian experience that we have, we'll be wanting to get into the meat of the word. And when we do, we're going to be willing and able to do whatever God wants us to do. And if your church has a need, you want to be one of the first ones to get in there and make sure that need's met. You don't sit back. An immature Christian will, but a mature Christian will not sit back and say, well, I'd say our church will take care of it. Huh? I'd say our church will take care of it. We do pretty good taking care of it. Instead of saying, what can I do? I know old Kennedy just came up with that in his speech years ago, but it made a difference, didn't it? When he said, don't ask what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And I would say to you, don't ask what your church can do for you, ask what you can do for the church. It's important that you do that, folks, because it creates a stronger congregation. The strength of a congregation is not in the number. It may show up in a number sometimes, but it's not the strength of the congregation. I can assure you, it's mature Christians who are getting in touch with God, because we know for a fact that we were moving right along during COVID, right? And when COVID came along, number went down. Could I tell you that Liberty Fellowship Church never suffered financially during COVID? You say, really? Yeah, because we didn't have as many people? Because a lot of those people who were spooked off by or had a legitimate reason, some of those weren't even tithers anyway. It all works together. You say, now you're meddling. No, I'm not meddling. I'm just telling you the truth, that being stabilized means you're stabilized. It means that you're a mature Christian and you're going to do the mature things. Y'all probably won't ever come back. Lynn, please don't do that. The assurance will enable us to enjoy with a more positive note. And I have been dubbed Mr. Positive, because I believed that Tennessee could beat Alabama. I sent Tom this little cartoon about death going down by the door of LSU and Florida, and he's gone in and he's come back out their doors. It's a long line of doors, and he's come back out, and blood's coming out the door, and he's at the Alabama door knocking. Did y'all see that one? And I sent it to Tom, and Tom said, in your dreams. Well, he texts me last night and said, I had a dream. I love my brother. Sometimes I have to make him understand that he don't have all the answers. It happened, right? Okay, just wanted to know. But if I have that assurance that I'm saved, it will enable me, and that's a good word, by the way, it will enable me to enjoy a more positive life. And by the way, if you're going to go to God in prayer, shouldn't you go to God in prayer with a positive sense? I mean, you're going to Him knowing, beyond the shadow of a doubt, there's that phrase, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that He can handle whatever you're praying about. You may have to wait on the answer. That's okay. Just go ahead and pray about it and then wait on Him. He'll give you the answer. You just trust Him that He will. He wants to give you the answer. Not the answer we want sometimes, but the answer we need. He can wake us up sometimes by giving us a different answer than what we asked for. Then we see, well, this is why He did this. God does everything He does with a purpose. And the purpose is for those of His children who sometimes get in trouble and we have to be bailed out. He's bailed me out more times than you can shake a stick at, folks. He has. Because He loves me. He loved me when He saved me. And he's loved me all of my life, and he'll keep loving me until he takes me on home. I love that, don't you? That's good for me to know that I can have that assurance of my salvation and the assurance that he'll do exactly everything he said he would do. So it'll give me the power to get down on my knees and go to God in prayer, knowing that he can answer those things that I have need of. The power over Satan. You know, Satan don't have any power over you. Amen? So don't blame him for stuff. You oughtn't be blaming him. He don't have any power over you. He can only handle what you put in his hand. Don't go there. Just be assured that you know where you are. This is good scripture. You might want to note it and read it again next week. Because we need to be assured of where we are. What's that song we sing? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, foretaste of glory divine. Come on, sing it to me. Salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. Do we know we've been born of his spirit and washed in his blood? Then we have that blessed assurance. I don't know who wrote that song. We could probably find out by looking in the book, but it doesn't make any difference. I've loved that song. Absolutely love it. And the little 98-year-old woman who went to be with the Lord last week, she could sing that song. She couldn't keep the tune anymore, and she couldn't stay with the words. But, buddy, she knew every word in it, 98 years old. And she would get ahead of me sometimes when I'd be singing with her, and she'd be singing Blessed Assurance. She knew what it was to have that Blessed Assurance. She'd loved the Lord for 98 years. And I'm saying when she was a baby, too. Because, you know, when we're babies, we just trust, don't we? And then when we get older, we're supposed to trust and obey. But God was good to her, and she always let people know it. And then the Lord said Saturday morning, honey, I'm going to bring you on home. So he allowed her to have a stroke. I was there by her bed. She came. And she was a blessing to the people there in the hospital before she went completely out. But she just passed so peacefully. God said, I'm bringing you home. I want to know the Lord like that. I don't know that I'll live to be 98 years old. Probably won't. But if I do, I want people to say he knew the Lord all of his life. Because from the time I became accountable for my sins, I said, I want to know that salvation that people preach about, teach about, sing about, and talk about. I want to know that because it sure does seem a good way to live. I want to know that John 3:16 is really, really real. And that I can tell others with confidence that God will do what he says he'll do. Do you know him? Do you know him? Yeah. I know him beyond a shadow of a doubt. He's mine and I'm his. That changes everything, doesn't it? He's mine and I'm his. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless this. You know, if I'm going to communicate with the Lord in prayer and the reading of his word, I need to be able to relay that onto other people. I want us all to leave here tonight going out to work tomorrow or school or wherever we go, and that we would be ready to relay that word on to others, the truth of that word. You see, because our influence will be strengthened if we know where we are in Him. Our God in heaven, thank you for this precious word. Thank you for reminding us of where we are, who we are, how we are. Lord, for reminding us that one of these days, when you see fit to take us home, we can go home with confidence, knowing that everything you promised us here is true in glory. Thank you for everything. We're going to praise you tonight. We're going to praise you high and holy above everything. You are our Father, which art in heaven. And we want to hallow your name on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debtors as we forgive those who sin against us. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for the joy and the happiness that you put in our hearts. Thank you for what you're going to do for us tomorrow, because we know you're the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we thank you in the name of your Son and our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray this prayer. Amen.